Take your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. That's near the end of the Bible. Hebrews chapter number 1. Hebrews chapter number 1. I'd like us to begin by reading the very first two verses. Hebrews 1, verse 1 and 2. Again, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. We'll then have a word of prayer, and we'll see what God's got for us tonight. Again, if we read together, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, let's start together reading out loud verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he had made the worlds. Let's pray. Again, Lord, we're so grateful that we live in a country where we can do what we're doing right now. We can sing these songs. We can shake hands. We don't have to hide. We don't have to sneak around. We can open up the Word of God and have your Spirit teach us yet something more. We pray that that would happen tonight. Help us, Lord, here in the book of Hebrews. May we understand who wrote it, who it was written to, when it was written, and the prevailing theme of the book. I pray that you direct each word that I say. May we be the better for you because of this message tonight. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know, it's been our custom in this church to preach through books of the Bible. I know the first 2 years that I pastored, I preached everywhere. It was almost, and I didn't do it, but it was almost like throwing a coin up, say, no, I preached that a few months. No, it used to be just everywhere. Honestly, after 2 years, I was so frustrated because I preached everything I knew. In fact, I preached everything I knew more than once. And I was at a loss. What do I preach next? I called a preacher, and he said to me, you're in a good position. I said, how's that? He said, you're going to do one of two things. You're going to announce to people that God's told you to move on. He said, that's what a lot of preachers do. It has nothing to do with God moving you on. It has to do with now it's finally time to get into the Bible and learn some things you haven't learned before so that you can learn them and teach them to your people. And I said, great. What book should I start with? So he said, pick a book of the Bible, begin to preach through that book of the Bible, and you might do one book Sunday morning, a second book Sunday night, a third book Wednesday night. Eventually, you get through every book of the Bible. And you will cover things, you will deal with verses that you would never pick if you were just a topical preacher. I'm not criticizing how anyone else preaches. That's between them and God. I know that I was very frustrated after 2 years. And I said to the man that said this, I said, what book should I start with? He said, I'm not the Holy Spirit. You have to find that. And so if you had been with us a few months ago, I was in one service preaching the life of Moses. Haven't finished that one. Another service preaching the book of Jude, not quite done that one. And a third service, the book of Jonah, we finally finished Jonah. And so tonight we're going to start the book of Hebrews. Now I've pastored almost 34 years. I've never preached through Hebrews. Brother Knox challenged me 20 years ago. He said, before you're done pastoring, preach through every book of the Bible. I think I've preached through 56 books of the Bible. There are 66. Never preached Hebrews. So you can't get rid of me this week. Not done this one yet. We're going to look at the book of Hebrews. And you know, I've hesitated to preach on Hebrews. And I'll give you some reasons why maybe. So I prayed much. And I hope you understand as we start this book, I've not preached it before. And I have reasons for that. Hopefully God will get me through those reasons. I trust that whenever you read the Bible, you before you even start reading, God help me. This is a spiritual book and mine is a carnal mind. I need you to help me. I trust that that's your prayer every time because this is a spiritual book. Do you know that David prayed this, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Jesus promised that the Spirit of God, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And may we never approach a book of the Bible and say, Lord, I already know this book pretty well. None of us know this book pretty well. All of us have plenty of things to learn, and we can't learn them unless God opens our eyes. I think one of the most amazing verses in the Bible is our Lord as he met with the 11 apostles after his resurrection. And the Bible says in Luke 24, verse 45, "Then opened he their understanding." Talking to the apostles, he wasn't talking about people that didn't frequent church. Wasn't talking about those that weren't saved. He was talking about some men that had been trained by him for 3.5 years. And it says, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." That would suggest that if the Lord didn't open their eyes, they could have read and it would have just been words on a piece of paper. And it ought to be our prayer every time before we read, "Lord, this is a spiritual book and I'm just not spiritual. Help me." And so with that said, we're going to start tonight on the book of Hebrews, and we're just going to get the introduction. I always fear that I don't think I've got enough, and so I fear that tonight. I know if you got a shorter message, you'd rejoice. I'd think that you got shortchanged. I really do. You have paid the admission ticket. I think you ought to get your money's worth. So we're going to look at who's the author, who's the audience, what's the reason, all the rest of that. Let's begin with the first thing. Look there in Hebrews 1, verse 1. If you're writing notes, my title is very simply Introducing Hebrews. Introducing Hebrews. Very first is, who is the human author? Who is the human author of the book of Hebrews? Look there in chapter 1, verse 1. "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets." Pastor, who wrote that? I know that ultimately the author of the Bible is God. We know that. We know that it's God who wrote the Word of God. The Bible says, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God is the one that gave us his word. We know that in Psalm 68, verse 11, the Lord gave the word. We know there in Psalm 119, verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. Thy is God. The word, it's God. God gave it. We know that ultimately the author of the entire Bible is God. Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. It's God's word. 1 Peter 1:25, the word of the Lord endureth. Throughout the Bible, it tells us it came from God. But God didn't have a pen or a quill in his hand and write these things. God picked men to write these things. He told them exactly what to write. And I know that's a review to all of us. Pastor, who was the man that held the pen to write this book of Hebrews? Do you know, if it were any other book of the Bible, that might be an easy question to answer. But we're not told in the text of this book of Hebrews who wrote it. Now, I'll grant you, look at the very title. Look at the title of the thing that even comes before verse 1. The title I've got here is the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews. How many have something like that? So the weight of answer would lean upon that title. And yet there is a debate whether that title Paul wrote on the top of this letter when he wrote it. There's a debate about that. Some think that that title was affixed to this letter later by the very fact that the King James translators put that title in. I think adds a lot of weight to the fact that Paul wrote it. But if Paul wrote it, it's different than any other letter that Paul wrote. Pastor, what do you mean? Well, back up the book right before Hebrews is Philemon. So turn the page over. Look at verse 1 of Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon. And there's no question who wrote the book of Philemon. Paul did. Well, back up to the book before that. Book before that is Titus. Look at Titus chapter 1. Titus 1 and verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Look there in verse 4, 2, Titus. There's no question who wrote Titus. Paul wrote Titus, and he wrote it to a man named Titus. Look back in the book before that, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1. Now, again, we're introducing Hebrews. And if we're going to look at this book over the next weeks and months, we just need a little bit of foundation. You don't build a house without first laying a foundation. You don't think about drywall and light fix until you have a foundation. So all we're really going to get here is a foundation. You're there in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, verse 2, to Timothy. We don't question who wrote 2 Timothy. Look at 1 Timothy. Now, you say, well, Pastor, I get the point, yes, but I'd like to hear you turn those pages so you see the point. You'll remember it if you see it. If you hear it, you might not remember it. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, verse 2, unto Timothy. Look there in the book before that, 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of Thessalonians. No question he wrote that. Now, I could go through every book that Paul wrote. 1 Thessalonians, it says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church. Colossians 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul and Timotheus. Every letter that Paul wrote, he identified himself in the very first verse, that he's the writer of it. So you say, well, preacher, back to our question. Look back there in Hebrews chapter number 1. Hebrews chapter number 1 and verse number 1, it doesn't begin with Paul. It doesn't have Paul's name in verse 2. It doesn't have Paul's name in verse 3. And so I'm saying to you, if we ask the question about any other book in the Bible, it would be a very easy answer. It's not quite that easy. Now, again, we're going to put a lot of weight in what the title of this book is, the Epistle of Paul, the Apostle of the Hebrews, because we believe that God supernaturally led those King James translators in what they wrote. It wasn't up to them what to write. We believe the Spirit of God directed them. So there is a lot of weight that we put on that title. His name is not recorded. The other tremendous weight is in the very last chapter. Look there in Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13, now when you get to the very last chapter, it looks like Paul, because now it sounds like Paul. Hebrews chapter 13, look there in verse 23. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. That boy sounds just like Paul. Paul talked like that in Paul's letters. 1 and 2 Timothy talked like that. He called Timothy our brother. That sounds like Paul. Look there in Hebrews 13 and verse number 24. Salute them that have the rule over you and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Salute's kind of like say hi. Whoever wrote this was in Italy when he wrote that. That sure sounds like Paul, because we know at the end of Paul's three missionary journeys, he was arrested in Jerusalem, taken to Caesarea, put on a ship, and he was taken to Rome. Rome is in the country of Italy. That verse 24 sounds like Paul, because Paul was in Italy near the end of his life. Look at verse 25, another reason why it very easily could have been Paul. Verse 25, grace be with you all, amen. Do you know Paul's signature ending to his letters was always an expression of grace be with you? Keep your hand in Hebrews. Let me show that to you. Look there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Now, these first three points I'm teaching your head. There's four points tonight. The fourth point I'm going to get to your heart. But you got to get the head stuff down. We have to get it down. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 17. Now, we're going to find that Paul always ended his letters with grace. 2 Thessalonians 3:17, the salutation, that's closing the letter, the salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. It seems even when Paul dictated a letter for somebody else to write, after they had penned all of the letter that Paul told them what to write, that the Spirit of God told Paul to tell Paul, to tell them to write, Paul would then take that quill with his own hand and he would sign this last verse, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. It seems that was his custom. Now, don't lose 2 Thessalonians, but that's how Hebrews ends. Grace be with you all. Amen. You don't need 2 Thessalonians, but look there in Philemon. That's right before Hebrews, Philemon. Look at verse 25. Look at how he ends this letter. Philemon, verse 25. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. That's how Paul ended his letters. Look there in Titus chapter 3. So right before Philemon is Titus. Titus chapter 3 and verse 15. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. Can I give you two more? Please don't be tired of it. 2 Timothy chapter 4. So right before Titus is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 22. 2 Timothy 4, 22, the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit, grace be with you. That's how Paul always ended. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6, look at verse 21. Which some professing have erred concerning the faith, grace be with thee. Now, if we took the time, and I won't, because I'd be belaboring, I think that's what it's called, the point. Every book that Paul wrote, he signed it with that ending, grace be with you. Grace be unto you. That's how Hebrews ends. So you say, preacher, who do you think wrote Hebrews? Paul. You say, well, you just talked us out of Paul. No, I think that's, I know that there are some that think Apollos wrote it. He was that evangelist, Acts 18 and 19. But you don't have any stronger case for Apollos. There are some that think Barnabas wrote it. I would take issue with that, because I think at the end of Barnabas's life, I think he kind of veered from the course. So I don't think at the end of his life he would have written this. That's my personal opinion. There are some that would suggest that Silas wrote it. There are some that would suggest that Luke wrote it. So we're just introducing Hebrews tonight. Very first question, who is the human author of this book of Hebrews? Although it's not clear, I'd say Paul. Say, why would you confuse us and then give us an answer like that? Because if you talk to someone about Hebrews, they're going to throw the book at you if you say Paul. And now you have some reasons why you can say Paul. Say, I don't believe it's Paul. That's fine. When you preach, you can give your answer. And we'll argue with you. Second thing, look back there into Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, so who is the human author of this book of Hebrews? Although it's not clear, I think it's Paul. But you say, well, why would it be clear at the last chapter of the book? Pastor, why wouldn't Paul identify himself as the author as he always did? I think there's a reason for that. Now, I'm going to throw this out, and you can take it for what it's worth. Someone has said this. I think that Paul wrote the first 12 chapters of Hebrews right after he got saved. And he carried that with him until the very end of his life, and then he finished it with chapter 13. Now, that's for free. But that would make sense. Because when Paul got saved, Paul abandoned the Jewish religion. We know that Paul was the most zealous Jew in Acts chapter 8. He killed Christians. But when Paul got saved in Acts chapter number 9, Paul turned his back on Jewish religion. And this book is to get the attention of Jews. And just maybe if Paul had started with his name Paul, a Jew wouldn't read it any further. Now, that's just that's a hypothesis. First of all, we've seen who the human author is, and our answer to that is Paul. Second thing, who is the intended audience? We're going to give you A's tonight. Who is the intended audience of the book of Hebrews? Look there again at chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. That fathers is the patriarchs of Israel. It's the forefathers and the five fathers. It's that whole Jewish line, the Israel's ancestry. Do you know that that statement wouldn't mean much to a Gentile? That statement would be a great, important detail to a Jew. Pastor, who is this intended audience of the book of Hebrews? I think the intended audience is Hebrews. Now, that's profound, isn't it? Because the title is the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews. Now, hold on a minute. Preacher, if that book of Hebrews was written to Hebrews, I guess I don't have to read it. That is not true. Folks, we can learn from every part of the Bible without insisting that every part of the Bible was written to us. Now, let me make a statement, and if you don't get it, I'll say it the second time. Every word of the Bible is for us, but not every word of the Bible was written to us. Let me try that again. Every word of the Bible is for us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. Folks, we read all of the Bible. There is no portion of the Bible that you ought to leave out of your daily Bible reading. I think you ought to read it all in a year. I think that's a great challenge. And you say, well, I'm offended with that. That's a different message. You are a different sort. You don't mind doing everything else that this world encourages you to do. But a pastor that encourages you to read your Bible through in a year, you take offense with that, you've got a bigger problem than this pastor. That's just for free. You can say amen or I'll say amen. 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 Having said that, we read all the Bible. So we read Hebrews too, though we recognize that there are some portions of the Bible that were not written to us. Listen, when you get into the Levitical offerings, Leviticus 1 through 5, nobody today is doing those offerings. But we still read it because we learn about the nature and the character of God. And so again, I think we're looking secondly, who is the intended audience of the book of Hebrews? And I think the intended audience is Jewish people. But again, we still learn from it. Say, well, preacher, where would you get that idea? Again, the title, the Epistle of Paul, the Apostle to the Hebrews. I think the second hint here is verse 1. God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. God sent prophets to the nation of Israel through the entire Old Testament because God used prophets to get the attention of his people. That's the Jewish people. I think that the third hint, look there in chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 16. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 16, for verily he, that's Jesus, took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. That would mean a big deal to a Jew, that Jesus, when he came here, he was born into this world, into Abraham's lineage. Look there in chapter 3 and verse 8. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 8. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. He talked about those Jews that wandered for 40 years, verse 9. when your fathers, he's talking to Jews, your fathers, he wouldn't say that to Gentiles, folks. Those Jews that wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, that wasn't our fathers, but that was Jews' forefathers. So I say to you, secondly, who is the intended audience of the book of Hebrews? And I think the intended audience is Hebrews, it's Jews. Now, as soon as I say those two, and I don't know where they catch it, this is why I've hesitated to hit this book. You already run into speed bumps that become mountains before you even get through verse 1. Pastor, if you think it was written to Hebrews, and you think that Paul wrote it, Paul was not the apostle to the Jews. Pastor, Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. Now, let me show you that. Again, keep Hebrews, you're going to need it. But look over there in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. So as soon as somebody insists that Paul wrote it, and I would, in spite of the gray areas of that statement, I still would. Romans chapter 11. Look there in verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. We know that God called Paul, and Paul was to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Over there in Acts 15, Paul reminded them that he was the apostle to the uncircumcision. Okay, that's Romans 11. And so as soon as I say Paul wrote it, it was written to Hebrews, to Jews, people say, well, it couldn't have been. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. Look there in Romans chapter number 15. Romans chapter 15. Look at the end of verse 15 and then verse 16. Romans 15. End of verse 15, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I, Paul's speaking, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. You say, well, preacher, how can you say Hebrews is written to Jews, written to Hebrews, if Paul wrote it, but Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles? Okay, you can let go of Romans 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and look at verse 11. 2 Timothy 1, verse 11, Paul is writing this to Timothy. Paul says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. So, Pastor, I think if you're going to insist that Paul wrote it, it couldn't be written to the Hebrews. And if you're insisting it was written to the Hebrews, it couldn't have been Paul. And that's the kind of argument that you get with that. Well, let's look at the original call on Paul. Paul got saved, what chapter? Acts chapter 9. Let's have a look at Acts 9. Let's see the original call of God on Paul. Now, I agree. This is all academic so far. When we get point 4, we'll get very practical. Acts chapter number 9. We know that Paul was on the way to the city of what? Damascus. And he had the license, he had the authority to find Christians, jail Christians on his way, didn't quite get to Damascus. He is knocked to the ground. He is blinded. He said, who art thou, Lord? And Jesus said, I'm he who thou persecutest. We would say that's when Paul got saved. They had to take blinded Saul. We know him as Paul. They had to take blinded Saul into that city of Damascus. He couldn't see. He was told to go into that city and someone would meet him. Who was the man that was supposed to meet him? Ananias. Not the Ananias from Acts 5. He's already dead. There's a faithful disciple, Ananias. God comes to Ananias and says, there's a man that's coming into town. His name is Saul. Soon as he said his name was Saul, the back of the hair on Ananias' head just stood up. That's the guy that's hunting Christians. Ananias thought, that's the man that's killing Christians. And Ananias begins to argue with the Lord. Now, I know you and I would never do that, but he is. He's saying, Lord, don't you know? Now, isn't that funny when we would ask God, doesn't he know? And look there, verse number 13. Then Ananias, so Acts 9:13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. You know what Ananias is doing? He said, Lord, couldn't you have picked someone more worthy, God? The Lord said, no, you're the one. And he doesn't even finish giving all of his reasons why he's a bad choice. And God says this in verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, so God's talking to Ananias, go thy way. Notice real closely. For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. I know that Paul's primary calling was to reach the Gentiles. But God allowed Paul to reach more than just Gentiles. God allowed Paul to reach kings. And God also allowed Paul to reach the children of Israel. So first of all, we have seen who's the human author of the book of Hebrews. And although it's not clear, I would say it was the Apostle Paul. Second thing, who is the intended audience of the book of Hebrews? And we know that God used Paul primarily to reach Gentiles, but God's using Paul in the book of Hebrews to reach Hebrews. That was where his heart was. I give you a third thing back there in Hebrews, this time chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9. Hebrews 2 and verse 9, third question, what is the approximate date of this book of Hebrews? Again, I know it's all academic, I understand that. What is the approximate date of this book of Hebrews? Look there at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. Hebrews 2, 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Third question. Pastor, when was Hebrews written? If Paul wrote it, was it written early in Paul's ministry? If Paul wrote it, was it written late in Paul's ministry? Some of you have dates on the top of your page. Who can give me a date for Hebrews 2? Sorry, what date? Some have 64. Someone else have a date for Hebrews 2? 35. Isn't that crazy? Some of your Bibles have a date, 35 A.D. Some have a date, 64, 65 A.D. Pastor, how is it possible that there could be a 30-year gap between the opinion of what some people think Hebrews is written? Well, we're going to do a little bit of science here. We know that the book of Hebrews was written after Calvary. How do we know that? Because of what we just read in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. Look at it. For we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Calvary has already happened when Hebrews 2:9 was written. A little bit of background. The date for Jesus' birth was 4 B.C. We won't get into it. 4 B.C. If the Lord lived 33 and a half years on this earth from 4 B.C., that meant Calvary was about 30 A.D. I'd say, preacher, I'd like to know more. Ask me after. Jesus died 30 A.D., and so if Jesus had already died when this book of Hebrews written, Hebrews has to be written after 30 A.D. How many are following that so far? Well, we find something else when we look here into the book of Hebrews. Look there, if you would, in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 11. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 11. It says there, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices. When Hebrews was written, there were still priests that were in the temple that were offering sacrifices. Pastor, how do you know that? Because everything that you see in verse 11 is still present tense. Look again at verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice. It was still happening. Pastor, I thought that when Calvary took place, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. How many kind of remember that? Do you know right after that, do you know what those Pharisees did? They sewed it back up again. Because that veil being rent in twain from the top to the bottom, that meant the priesthood was no longer necessary. You and I could be a priest directly with God. They weren't about to willingly surrender their jobs. So they sewed it back up. And do you know that those temple sacrifices were still being done? They were still being done in that temple until the temple was finally destroyed in 70 AD by a Roman general named, anyone know his name? Titus. Now, I know this is all academic. Hebrews had to be written before 70 AD because the priests were still offering sacrifices in the temple. It had to be written after 30 AD because Jesus had already died at Calvary. It's put in there somewhere between 30 AD and 70 AD. Some of your Bibles have a date, and the dates aren't inspired, so you can relax. That was put long after. But some are of the opinion that it was written right after Calvary. That's why they put that early date of 35 AD. But you that have 35 AD, give me a date for Hebrews 13, Hebrews chapter 13. Again, Hebrews chapter 1 through 12, you've got 35 AD. Give me a date for the top of Hebrews 13. 64 AD. Well, that's the same as everybody else has got for the whole book. And so that's why I say some are of the opinion that Paul wrote those first 12 chapters just after he got saved. That's why they're putting that 35 AD when Paul got saved. And he carried it with him. Because he was convinced that book wasn't quite done. And then he puts the last chapter at the very end when he's now in Italy under arrest. We've answered the third question. I give you the fourth question. What is the theme addressed in the book of Hebrews? Look there in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. Now, everything to this point has been head knowledge. It's just facts. It's just academic. Pastor, what is it that's so important in the book of Hebrews that Paul would think it necessary to write this 13-chapter book? Look again at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Do you know, preacher, what is the theme? Do you know, we really get a huge glimpse in verse 1. You know, if Paul wrote it, you know what Paul's saying? You Jews, we Jews, had the benefit of all of these prophets that have spoken unto us through all the history of Israel. But he said, now in these last days, God is speaking to us directly by his Son. You know what the whole theme of Hebrews is? We have something far better in Jesus Christ. Do you know how many people this morning got out of bed and went to a church and all that they had was ritual and routine? They went through some routine that they do 52 weeks a year. It's no different. Many times it's in a language they don't even understand. Sometimes it's in Latin. Sometimes it's in Greek. Sometimes, and there are people that sit in those pews and they'll get up and they'll get down and they'll kneel because that's when they're supposed to do, and they'll do this and they'll go through their prayer beads, and all that they have is religion. And you know what Paul said? That's what the Jewish nation had for all those years. But what we have is so much better. Yeah, I know when we talk to people and they say, I have my church. I don't want to come to your church because I have my church. Do you know we don't have to compare churches to churches? Have you got religion, or have you got the true faith? And Paul, having now preached, Paul recognizes that all that some people have is a ritual. All that some people have is a religion. Sure, it was great men, those Old Testament prophets, but you know, they were nothing more than just men. We know that Elijah, an Old Testament prophet, he got tired and he got weary. But Jesus never did. We know that prophet John the Baptist, on one occasion, he questioned whether Jesus was the promised Messiah or should he look for someone else. John the Baptist had doubts as a prophet. Jesus never doubted. We know that some of those prophets ran away from kings and queens because they feared for their life. Jesus never ran away from kings and queens. Jesus feared nothing. We know that one of those prophets, Moses, he killed a man, buried him in the sand. Jesus never did. You know, the whole theme of Hebrews, what we have is better. Now you say, Pastor, why would Paul think it was so important to drive that point home? Because Paul noticed that some who had been saved, who had left that religion of so many years, some of them now had begun to wonder, have I left behind me too much? Have I given up too much? Should I maybe rethink this decision of walking away from my religion for this Christianity? Do you know, Paul had by this time dealt with enough people that were second-guessing whether they indeed had made the right decision. And Paul's saying, don't go back. Don't go back. Don't go back. Don't go back. Look there, if you would, in Hebrews. Of course, we've seen verse 1 and 2 where he said, what we have is better than the Old Testament prophets. Look there in Hebrews 1, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4, talking about Christ being made so much better than the angels. What we have is better than the angels in Christ. Look there in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 3, for this man was counted more worthy of more glory than Moses. What we have in Christ is better than Moses. Look there in Hebrews 6 and verse number 9. Hebrews 6 and verse number 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. Folks, in Christ we have better blessings after we got saved than we ever had before. Look there in Hebrews 7 verse 22. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 22, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. We don't have time to look at all, but this word better, it shows up 13 times in the book of Hebrews. And what he's trying to say is what we have is so much better. Don't go back. Now, folks, that's not a surprise, the need to drive that truth home. Because if you've been around this church, or another Bible-believing church for that matter, how many people do you know that sat in the pews or the chairs of that Bible-preaching church? And whether they came there already saved, or when they first came there, they were entrenched in a religion, they heard the gospel, they got saved, and they were so excited about the things of God. But after time passed, that excitement waned. And after time passed, that commitment kind of lost its pizzazz. And how many people that have been saved for a while have started looking back and say, maybe the decision I made wasn't the best one. Maybe I have left too many friends. Maybe I've walked away from too much fun. And I'm saying to you, the whole theme that he's going to keep driving through is what we have is better. Don't go back. You know what the devil will whisper in your ears? You've given up too much. This has cost you too much. You need to go back. And it's happening in churches all across this country. It's happening in churches all around this world. Because I talk to preachers all the time. I hear the heartbreak in the words that pastors say, I just lost another family this week. I said, why do you think it happened? Well, they didn't like that old-fashioned Christianity anymore. They wanted the entertainment of the world. They wanted the music of the world. They wanted the drinking of the world. They wanted the fashions of the world. And they knew they couldn't get the rubber stamp of approval for that here. So they've decided to go back to the world. Some of them aren't in church anywhere. They just want the world once again. And I think that Paul, if indeed Paul, I think Paul really had two different kinds of people in mind. I think the one kind is the believers. Those believers that had been raised in that Jewish faith. And they knew all that routine and they knew all that ritual, but when they got saved, they cut themselves off of that temple worship because now they had local churches. And now they had met together, and yes, the crowds were smaller. Sure they were, because that temple was huge. But that crowd that was smaller had an old-fashioned faith that had the touch of God on it. But some of those that had been in that old-fashioned church, they looked out the window here in Jerusalem as they watched these priests as they made their way to the temple. And they watched all the people as they made their way to the temple. These who now were saved and were no longer a part of that temple religion, Paul talked to enough of them to know. Some of them missed that priest. Some of them missed that ritual. Some of them missed that. Listen, you could be a good Jew and attend the temple on a Saturday. And you could pretty well live your life any way you wanted from Sunday through Friday. Because it was just a ritual. It was just a game. And Paul knew, having spoken to so many true believers, well, they kind of missed that thought that you could live 6 days a week any way you want, as long as you put in your time into that temple. And as Paul notices, how many believers are thinking, I think I'll go back. He wrote Hebrews. And he said, what we have is so much better. I think that some of those Jews had paid quite a price when they got saved. I think some of them, when they trusted the Lord as their Savior, I think for some of them, their family disowned them. I think for some of them, their parents cut them out of the will. I think for some, they even held a funeral because this daughter, this son had now signed on to Bible Christianity and abandoned the faith that they had known. Hebrews was written to them. Hebrews says to the unbelieving Jew, Christianity, it offers something so much better. Why don't you walk away from your religion to get Christianity? But Hebrews is also written to Christians who had walked away from religion because they finally got something that was real and something that stirred their heart, and some of them were thinking of going back. It's difficult for us to understand that. Unless you were raised in another faith, that religion was pumped into you 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. There's not a lot of loyalty anymore to people's religion. But for these Jews, that's all that they knew for all those years before they got saved. Paul said, don't go back, because what we have is so much better. You know, this book of Hebrews is primarily written to Jews to remind them Christianity is so much better. Don't go back. You say, preacher, I can't imagine Christians to want to go back to that. Let me show you a case, and then I'll be done tonight. Acts chapter number 21. Acts chapter 21. By Acts chapter 21, Paul is coming to the end of his third missionary journey. Paul has now taken three trips into Gentile territory to preach the gospel. Many of them have gotten saved. So now at the end of Paul's third missionary journey, as he did the first two, he stopped in Jerusalem. When Paul gets to Jerusalem, he can only imagine that the true believers in Jerusalem could hardly wait till Paul gives a report. I mean, just like we could hardly wait till Brother Lowen gave the report tonight. Now we got to wait for the rest of it with pictures next week. Paul imagined that the Christians in Jerusalem were anxious to hear about all of these Gentiles that had gotten saved. Look at the shock that Paul found when he gets there to Jerusalem. Look there in Acts 21, verse 18. Acts chapter 21, verse 18. It says, in the day following, Paul went in with us unto James. It seems as James was now pastoring there in Jerusalem. And all the elders were present. And when he, that's Paul, had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And he's thinking, boy, they're just going to be excited. What a report. All these people that have gotten saved in Macedonia and Achaia, and all these people that have been saved in Galatia. Well, he's given their report. Look at it there, verse number 20. And when they heard of it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. The law. I don't know if you get that. Paul's just given his report about all these Gentiles that have gotten saved. And they glorified the Lord. They said, good news, but do you know how many Christians here in Jerusalem are so zealous of the law? Folks, Jesus Christ at Calvary, he died so that the law is no longer running our lives. And the pastor of this church in Jerusalem is bragging on all these believers that have returned to doing some of those things. Paul's floored. Paul, that's why he wrote Hebrews. We don't need to go back, because what we have is better. Keep reading. Acts chapter number 21. Look there in verse 21. And they are informed of thee. So all these believers now in Jerusalem that somehow have returned to upholding all that Old Testament law. And they are informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. Folks, a New Testament Christian does not walk after Jewish customs. The Lord set us free from all that stuff. So they're saying to Paul, now Paul, that all these people have heard that you're telling people that none of the customs that are Old Testament, do they have to follow it? And Paul said, yeah, that's correct. They don't. Stay with me. Don't lose me here. Verse number verse 22. What is it, therefore, the multitude must needs come together? For they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this that we say to thee. We have four men which have a vow on them. Folks, that's Old Testament stuff. Then take and purify thyself with them and be at charges with them that they may shave their heads. And all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing. But that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. Paul said, I just gave a report of all these Gentiles, how they've simply believed Jesus Christ, period. They're saved. They're walking a new life now. And you want me to go back to doing those Old Testament Jewish customs so I can appease them? Paul said, okay. And you know, Paul did it. And while Paul was in that temple ritual for 7 days, Paul gets arrested. And Paul is never set free after that until he's taken all the way to Rome, stands before Caesar. No wonder that book of Hebrews wasn't finished till that 13th chapter. Paul's saying, listen, what we have in Christ is so much better than the religions of this world. Don't go back. Maybe there is in someone's heart tonight. I don't know. Maybe you're tired of old-fashioned Christianity. Maybe you're tired of starting your day reading the Bible and praying. Say, preacher, I never had to do that when I attended XYZ church. Maybe you're tired of the old-fashioned hymns and you want something with more beat and more jive. Maybe you're tired of someone coming up behind the platform and singing a special without the wiggle and without making love to the microphone. And you see that on internet and see that on TV and say, we're sure missing a lot. You're not missing anything. This world will tell you you ought to go back. Folks, you need to burn all those bridges behind you. And we just heard a report from Brother Lowen. We'll hear more next Sunday. They've just been in the Yucatan Peninsula. Do you know in the Yucatan Peninsula to take the gospel and see lives changed? Do you know there was a man, his name was, and I've got it here because I knew I wouldn't remember it if I didn't put it here. His name was Hernan Cortes. Back in the early 1500s, Spain sent this Mr. Cortes to Mexico to conquer Mexico in the name of Spain. You know, he brought his soldiers and his ships there to the shores of Mexico. But he heard from his men where on that trip they were saying this could be very dangerous. Many of us could lose our lives. They were going to the Yucatan Peninsula is where they were going. Some of them said, when we get on shore, we're going to have a mutiny against Cortes. We're going to get back on these ships and go back where it's safe. Cortes heard that. So they unloaded everything from the ships. And then Cortes sent a few of his men to take those ships slightly out of shore and burn them. So are they going to get back? They're not. Cortes knew there's only one direction forward. You know the theme of Hebrews? What we have is so much better. Don't go back. Don't go back. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that what we have in Christ is so much better. We have better prophets. We have better something better than Moses. We have better promises. We have a better testament, a better covenant. It's all better, and we're going to see that in Hebrews. Lord, we've looked at who wrote it and who it was written to and the date. But Lord, we're reminded of this theme that I think is so important. There's a verse in 1 John, they went out from us because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. John saw it happening in that very first century after Christ. This book of Hebrews talks about those that want to go back to what they once had. Acts chapter 21, as Paul is taking the gospel out to regions beyond, that temple in Jerusalem is being frequented again by believers who just want to return to those old religious rituals again. Lord, would you help us to realize what we have is better. Everything about Bible Christianity is better. And while the devil and the world whispers in our ears, we have given up too much to become a Christian. Lord, we've got so much more when we became a Christian. I pray that you'd help us. If someone listening to my voice tonight is thinking, I think I'll just go back. I'll go back to the life that I had before I met Jesus Christ. It'll never satisfy.